Hello, and welcome to Zero Hour with our hosts, Hugh Joyce and Tim Bowring. Good afternoon, Hugh. How are you?
Great. Good to be here today, Tim.
Thank you, buddy. Today's show is an ongoing series that explores Hanover's and the surrounding Metro Richmond's thriving art scene and the people who make it happen. Every Wednesday at 12:30, we sit down with one of these folks. The conversation is lively and spontaneous, so pull up a chair and meet some fascinating people. Today, we are thrilled to have Diego Sanchez with us. Diego, welcome.
Thank you, Tim. It's good to see you.
Yes. Before we get too far, I just want to say that Diego was born in Columbia, South America. He's currently the chair of the art department at St. Catherine's School. He has shown his work throughout Virginia and the Mid-Atlantic region, as well as Italy, Belgium, Peru, Colombia, and Hungary. He is the first recipient of the Teresa Pollock Artist of the Year Award. I didn't know that. Really?
It's pretty amazing, yes. I'm really honored to have that.
When was that? That was a while ago then.
That was a while ago, and actually the first time where they gave the award was at the Anderson Gallery, which is kind of interesting because, as you know, the Anderson Gallery is ready to close. And the last show is going to be Myron Helfgott, which is going to be a fantastic show.
Really?
It's going to be curated by Howard
Rosati
and Ashley Kistler.
Oh, really?
So I'm really looking forward to the last show at the Anderson Gallery.
So the people out there who love the Anderson Gallery don't freak out. It's moving, I guess, yes, over to the new building on Broad Street?
The Depot.
The Depot, which apparently is a knockout. I haven't seen it yet.
It's an amazing building.
Oh, it's amazing. We went to the senior show, the VCU, graduate student show there at the end of the year, and it's really something. So is that going to be called the Anderson Gallery inside of there, or what are they doing?
I don't know the answer to that question, but I'm really excited because the energy is fantastic, especially it's going to be so close to the ICA.
Yeah.
Just, less than a block away, so it's going to be wonderful.
Yeah, and it's just a cool building, and there's all those different cool rooms you can just do. I mean, the sky's the limit over there.
That's right. Yeah, they have a number of rooms that are going to be used as labs, so you're going to have people from different disciplines come and collaborate and talk about art, science, technology. It's really a wonderful idea.
Wow, that's fabulous. Yeah, because Hugh and I were both down there at the groundbreaking. Or where Joe Seipel, the dean of the School of the Arts, got into a backhoe and managed not to kill himself, dig a big hole. It was actually very well done, I thought. I thought we're standing on an asphalt surface, and I'm thinking, how are they going to do this with shovels? And I look over, and there's this huge backhoe over there. So, yeah, only the School of the Arts can get away with this kind of thing. This is fabulous. What are you doing this summer? You've got a little bit of time off, I think, yes?
This summer, I'm actually quite busy. I'm doing a class at the Virginia Museum. I have a wonderful group of people. I'm also getting ready for a small show. There's a new gallery in Richmond called the Hill Gallery. It's located on...
It's called Hill Gallery?
The Hill Gallery. Okay. It's owned by this woman named Randy Hill. And it's located on Robinson Street between Monument and Grace. Mm-hmm. So I have a show there. August.
When in August?
I'm not sure. I think it's middle to late August. And then I have a big show next year at Mary Baldwin College, which I'm looking forward to that.
All right.
Working with Paul Ryan is always a wonderful treat.
Yes, a wonderful thing. So I don't think I mentioned this in the introduction, but you are a painter.
I am.
Yes.
I am. I went to VCU. I got my MFA. I've been making art and teaching art ever since I graduated.
So what's it like to be a painter working at St. Catherine's School? And I guess everybody knows that St. Catherine's is, a private school, but incredibly well run with an amazing amount of talent there in terms of...
It's fantastic. Actually,
faculty, yeah.
I feel very fortunate about my position there. They're very supportive. It's a wonderful community. The caliber of the students is fantastic. I just had a student who got a BMFA fellowship. She was competing with college students, and she was one of the recipients this year.
Really?
So I was very proud of that. So I have an amazing group of students.
What does that mean?
The Virginia Museum has fellowships for professional artists, graduate students.
Oh, and VMFA fellowship.
Virginia Museum of Fine
Arts. Bachelor of Fine Arts fellowship.
But she was competing with college students.
Can you say what her name is?
Her name is Elena Wiberly, and she's going to be going to Columbia University. Extremely talented and bright. So I feel fortunate to be able...
Is she a painter?
She draws a lot.
She
works mostly on graphite, and her work is outstanding.
Just mind-blowing, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I feel fortunate to be able to teach mm-hmm. what I love, which is painting and drawing on an environment like St. Catharines.
In an environment where it's widely respected as opposed to, gee whiz, got to cut the budget, first thing goes to the arts.
That's right.
It certainly is not their attitude there.
I also teach the boys from St. Christopher's too.
Oh, do you?
We have a wonderful coordinated program between the two schools. So if the boys want to take studio classes, they come to us, which is great.
What do you think? The boys, are they as interested in the arts at that age?
They are. I mean, they are. They just, you know, the things that they're interested are a little different than the girls, but they are.
Yeah, it tends to be that way.
Interesting. So just you know, since you're a painter, I see you have a website, right?
And so
tell everybody what that website is.
The website is diegosanchez.com. Very simple.
Perfect. And the paintings are there, so if you want to go check that out. And are you represented by a local gallery in town, or do you work with various galleries?
I was working with Paige Baum, but I don't have that connection anymore. I mean, I work with her on and off, but I'm actually a free agent.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I feel
second
fortunate.
Second free agent in a row.
That's right. I feel very lucky because I'm able to work with different places. I work a little bit with the 17 Oi Gallery, Visual Arts Center. So I feel lucky to be in Richmond because there is a wide variety of opportunities for artists.
Sort of ground zero for art.
Correct.
And that's great.
So I'll ask the obvious question. What brought you from Columbia to Richmond, Virginia?
Well,
that's quite a journey.
I came to the United States when I was a junior in high school.
Wow.
And my father was a...
Did you speak English?
No, I was studying French.
Wow.
We had a choice between French and English, and I love French. You know, I love the way that it sounded.
Yeah.
So my dad was a judge, and the political situation was getting a little bit difficult, and he made the decision that it was probably better for us to leave the country. And so we left everything and came to the U.S.
Wow, that must have been incredibly hard.
It was challenging. It was very difficult.
Yeah, junior in high school, not speaking English, leaving everything behind. And how did art fit into that? Did it start before that or did it start?
Well, no, actually, I never thought I was going to be an artist. My mother was a nurse and she used to work with homeless children in Colombia.
Really?
So on the weekends, I used to go with her to the clinic and just volunteer. So I always thought I was going to kind of follow kind of a medical career.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came to the States, I was taking U.S. history, U.S. government, all my math and science classes transferred. So basically, I was studying English, and I had a free period. So that's when I took my first art class.
Really?
And
you were a junior in high school?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
wow. That's sort of kind of a late bloomer. Well, not really a late bloomer, but...
It's never too late.
Yes.
Well, I mean, that's what happened to my son, Pierre. You know, he grew up in that... art household, never did much of anything, and then all of a sudden his junior year, boom.
Yeah.
So who knows?
It's never too late to become an artist.
No.
So
you're right about that. Never too late to.
Was it a specific teacher? Was it a specific moment? Do you remember?
I think that being able to express myself visually kind of opened my eyes to the fact that if you have a good drawing or a good painting, you don't have to speak any language. You know, mm-hmm. you can communicate your ideas to anybody.
Right.
So if you have a good drawing, you can it kind of transcends language, verbal.
And that
language.
Was something you were struggling with, obviously.
Yes.
Then. Yeah.
So that kind of opened my eyes, and I informed my parents that I decided to become an artist, and they were not thrilled about it, but they were very supportive, and it's been the best decision I ever made.
Yeah.
I mean, I get up happy every day to go to work, and you know, I love what I do,
mm-hmm.
so I feel fortunate to be able to.
How often do you get in the studio?
Well, I'm in the studio every weekend. During the school year, it's difficult. I used to be able, if I had a show, to get up around 4:30 in the morning and work for 2 hours before I went to work. But now that I'm getting older, it's more difficult. So by the end of the day, I'm pretty wiped out. So I try to, if I have a show, I usually come home and take a nap and then go back in the studio and work for 2-3 hours.
Right.
But I'm in the studio every weekend.
Are you?
I love getting up early, making a fresh pot of coffee, listening to NPR, and just painting all morning. It's wonderful.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, that's really neat. So, and when you're painting in the studio on the weekend, how many hours do you think you're in there?
Well, I discovered that actually I work pretty efficiently for 3 hours, and then I need a break. So I usually work for 3 hours, take a break, you know, exercise a little bit, work on the yard for a while, and then come back to the studio. So 3 hours works pretty well. And
got you.
I'm usually there for, I don't know, between 7 to 10 hours, depending on what I'm working on.
Gotcha. Very, very interesting.
Talk about your work, because it's, I guess it's fair to say that it's a combination of realism and abstraction. Do you think that's fair?
That is correct. And this is something that I've been dealing with for the past few years. I'm trying to find a happy medium between representational and non-representational elements. And it's been wonderful. I usually work on panels. And
panels of wood?
Wood panels. Mm-hmm. And I usually start by applying color, developing surfaces, not knowing what's going to happen, purely intuitive. Then I usually respond to the surface of the panels, and I place a realistic element in the on top of those surfaces.
So an image of some kind.
Yes, I'm attracted to a number of things. I love architecture. I love boats. I do a lot of chairs.
Chairs. I was going to say chairs, boats.
Yes. Water towers.
Water towers.
Which I always think, I think they're just so cool. I love
thank you.
A good water tower.
Nothing like a good water tower, right?
That's right.
But it's such an interesting, you know, they're always so interesting and cool.
Well, yeah. Just, you know, for you know, you look at the image and it sort of pops. So that's kind of interesting because the images, you know, can be a boat or a chair. And it's like, you know, why is that? Why is you know, what is it about that that grabs me, that pops?
So my goal is to give equal importance to both elements.
Yes.
And sometimes it works, sometimes, you know, it doesn't work. But
right.
One of the things that I'm doing this summer, Tim, I had a friend who passed away of cancer. Mm-hmm. I know you remember her. One of the things that she was trying to get me to do was to get away from the representational elements in my work. And before she passed, she was working on a beautiful series of 100 pieces of paintings on panels. She worked with encaustic, so... I was going to go to her studio and do a visit, and she was not feeling well. So, you know, we postponed that. And 2 weeks later, her husband called me and informed me that she passed away. So my goal this summer is I'm making 100 little pieces of on paper, completely non-representational. Uh-huh. And it's been really challenging, frustrating.
Completely non-representational. Really? So all abstract. So,
yes. Kind of in her honor.
Are you doing them at any particular speed, or are you taking your time?
No. Actually, I've been working on and off for a while, but it's been really difficult because any time that you step out of your comfort zone, it becomes challenging, but it's been a really wonderful experience, wonderful learning experience. And I have done probably about 60, and I maybe have 5 or 6 that I like so far.
Really?
Yes.
That's not bad.
No.
Oh my gosh. what size are they?
Like, they're small. They're 9 by 12 inches.
And they're on paper.
Are they all going to be the same size?
They're all going to be the same size.
And we got 50 down, and we like 5.
I have about 50 to 55 or something like that. I have 5 that I like, yes.
Are we going to keep all 50, or are we going to start over?
No, I'm going to keep doing them for a while. And when I'm finished, I'm gonna meet with Jay, her husband, and I'm going to show those to them and get some feedback. You know, he's usually very honest about what he likes and what's working, so I respect his opinion a great deal.
Well, he knows a fair amount about art, too.
He does. He's been a wonderful wonderful person, supportive of the arts for the years.
Yeah, so. He's been working with the Lewises since he was about 12, I think. They hired him to handle handle their collection. So these days... you're working on paper. What are you using? Are you just using
a variety of medium, mixed media? I'm usually start with a water-based medium and finish them with oils. Huh. I've been using cold wax lately. So
yeah, I was going to say, are you using an encaustic? You are, sort of?
Cold wax.
I don't know what cold wax is.
Cold wax is a substance that actually dries with air when it comes in contact with air. It looks like Crisco. And you can mix oil paint or you can mix dry pigments with it and get beautiful... colors.
And if you have high quality paper, it holds up okay, I guess.
It does.
Yes.
It does. As long as you have a strong support, Well,
that's
hopefully
great.
Hopefully I'll finish them, you know, before the end of the summer, but we'll see.
Yeah. So that's a wonderful thing to do. Has your relationship with Cindy been influential in this? Obviously, at least in terms of taking the risk of doing something out of your comfort zone was.
Yes, I learned a great deal from her. You know, she was a very courageous person. I mean, she started her art career as a photographer, and she ended up being a painter, a wonderful painter. But she kind of took a lot of chances and was very passionate about her craft and just gave it 100%. Even when things didn't work out and when she was frustrated, she kept at it. Mm-hmm. So she taught me to be persistent.
Yeah, right.
And she just had a wonderful outlook on life, you know, very positive.
Yeah,
and
she
taught me not to dwell on the small details, but just remember what is important in life.
Yes.
So
what is important in life?
Pursuing your passion, what you love to do. And, you know, we get so bogged down with problems and small insignificant details with life that it's not really worth it. What is really important is, you know, what you love to do, your family, friends.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. You know, when you're young, you hear that and you think, oh, yeah, right. Yeah. I want to be famous, man. I want to be rich or something, you know. And the end of the day, it is your family and your friends and the things that you care about.
I think one of the best things about, you know, growing older is the fact that you don't waste time because you're running out of time. So the less time you have, the more.
So that has impacted your work as you've grown older?
Yeah. I used to be involved with so many different things, and now I'm becoming more selective on what I want to get involved with and what is really important.
I mean, what about the output of your work, the kinds of work you're doing? Well, obviously, you're taking this risk with this paper and cold wax, but
it's just kind of like it's a good reminder just to do what I love to do without being concerned about, you know, I'm painting for myself, you know, and you know, I'm feel lucky that I have a full-time job, so I don't have to.
Well, and obviously you love to teach, so that doesn't hurt either.
So it kind of keeps me honest, and that's a good thing.
Does the teaching feed your painting?
Definitely. I learn a great deal from my students.
Do you?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
One of the best things about teaching is what you learn from your students, you know, the mistakes they make, how they handle the materials. Making art is so different from anything else because everybody has their own personal way.
Did you learn anything from this young lady who got the thing from the VMFA? Or is it just such a totally different medium that it's...
I learned a great deal from her. The fact that she was so unassuming and humble about her skills.
Mm-hmm.
It was really eye-opening to see someone who was so good to be so nonchalant about how talented she was.
How old is she? She's about 16 or something?
Well, right now she's going to college, so she's just turned 18.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, that's interesting.
She going to college for art?
I hope so.
Yeah.
She's so gifted. She's an amazing athlete. She's incredible math student, so, you know, she can pretty much do whatever she wants.
I think I heard her interviewed on the radio station. I think she got maybe student athlete, one of those recognitions.
She was nominated for the Lexus
Pursuit of Excellence.
That's right. She got that award as well.
Did she win that? Did she win that?
She did.
Yeah. I thought I remember hearing that is amazing.
Okay. Yeah. Multi-talented.
Switching back to the kids, though, girls versus boys over at St. Christopher's versus St. Catherine's. Is it 50-50? Or are there more girls taking art than boys? What are you seeing? I'm curious at the private school.
Well, what I've noticed in the past, I've been at St. Catherine's for 14 years, and there's a dramatic increase in the number of boys taking art. When I first came to St. Catherine's, maybe I had about 6 or 7 boys.
Yeah.
Now, last year, we have more boys taking art foundation, which is the basic class, than girls, which is great.
So they're doing drawing and
what
basic
we do
sculpture.
Is we have a really good program. The kids start with art foundation, which is like a requirement class before they do anything else. Then they can take drawing, painting, mixed media, and then if they like to, they can continue and do advanced art.
Is anybody doing anything on the computer?
There are some kids who are really good with using the computer, using CAD. And as you know, STEM is becoming really popular right now. Next year, we actually are going to be hosting an international conference, girl conference, and the theme is going to be STEM versus STEAM. Which is going to be interesting.
STEM versus STEAM,
STEAM is actually, is the addition to the arts when people are studying science and technology and math.
Oh, okay.
So the new thing now is incorporating the arts.
Like MIT and...
That is correct.
Their whole program on the arts and however you want to incorporate that into the sciences or whatever.
Artists have a very unique way of solving problems, thinking about things, and, you know, it's always good to have an artist in the group.
Yeah. Well, let's take a quick break. We're talking with Diego Sanchez, and we're getting a little short on time here, but I just want to say again that Diego was born in Colombia and came here with his family when he was a junior and has obviously accomplished quite a bit. He's currently the chair of the Department of Art at St. Catherine's School and has shown throughout Virginia and the Mid-Atlantic region. Is there anything you're doing right now in your studio that you're excited about?
Probably the thing that I'm the most excited about and a little afraid of is the 100 little pieces that I'm hoping that they're going to work out. But if they don't work out, it's absolutely fine.
Fine.
So
yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'd love to see them.
Yeah, that's interesting. You should pop those up on your website as you do them with a little tale about it. Or do you not want anyone to see them until they're
done? No, actually, it's funny you mentioned that because I decided to put a couple of them online and I have a lot of good response from them. So.
Oh, good.
Are they on the website now? Or are they in a secret place?
A few of them are on the website. There's a page called 100, just to put a little pressure on myself. So I only put there the ones that I like so far.
Oh, I see. So.
Are you trying to do one a day?
No.
Okay.
No.
There are some people who have done projects like that. Yeah.
I'm usually work on three or four at a time, and the way that I work, it takes time for things to dry.
Right.
So I just keep moving from one to the next until they finish. They'll feel finished or until I ruin them.
Reminds me of Javier Tapia and his watercolors and taking them out in the backyard after he's done them and hosing them off and starting again.
It must be a Latin thing.
He must spend a fortune on paper, man. If,
and the paint, too. I mean, some of those tubes are really expensive.
Yeah, yeah, stuff's expensive.
I like the 100. The five, there's six up here, and they're cool.
Right.
Yeah, they're different.
Thank you. They are different from my work, yeah.
Yeah, definitely, you know, abstract.
And these are the ones you like?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think 6 out of 50 isn't bad, because you watch artists try something new, and some make changes, but they're so subtle that they're hard to see, and some artists are much more aggressive about it. But I think about my wife, Sally. You know, I mean, I'll go out in the studio, and she'll say, what do you think? And I'll just kind of go, after, 30 years of looking at it, I'll just kind of go, well, keep working. I mean, and then it just kind of, it's kind of comes together.
It happens.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. There was a band years ago, a rock and roll band that played called Cream. And they said, how do you guys do this? And one of the guys on the band said, well, we just play as hard as we can until it all comes together.
So, well, that would work. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if that's true for painters, but
as we wrap up and we're getting to the end, anything else that is compelling that we think the listeners might be interested in that you're working on or fiddling with?
One of the things I'm really excited about is what's happening in Richmond in terms of the art scene. I'm really excited to see, it's almost like a renaissance in the visual arts in Richmond. All these new galleries opening up, the ICA. There's a lot of good energy overall, and it's such a dynamic town that it's hard to do First Fridays. It's almost impossible to do everything on First Fridays anymore. There's so much to see.
But that is a really good point, and it is very exciting just to see everything. The reputation of VCU continuing to bloom and flourish has always been good, but it's really getting good.
Hugh, why don't you just for a couple of seconds here just talk about the ICA, because the initials might be not apparent to everybody.
Well, Institute for Contemporary Art, and obviously that's a collaboration between VCU and the community to build a modern art gallery that can do educational work as well as present some of the world's greatest art, designed by one of the world's greatest architects.
Yeah.
It is going to be a beacon down on Broad and Belvedere for the city. I mean, it is the building. And I'm sure there's a website. I'm sure it's probably ICA.org.
Yeah, sure, if you go to VCU, I'm sure.
I would encourage everyone to get out and look at it if they haven't. Mm-hmm. But it's just, as you say, dovetailing with that, the art scene is just becoming so exciting here in town with the galleries and the number of great work that's happening is just exciting.
The Virginia Museum, I mean, they have done so. Yeah,
they've
such
done a few things over there, too.
Which is so fantastic. I mean, it's just really an exciting town.
Double the size as well. Well, it looks like we're about out of time here. So I want to thank you, Diego Sanchez, for being on Zero Hour here. And I want to thank our listeners for tuning in. And we hope to see you again on the radio next Wednesday at 12:30. This is Tim Bowring and Hugh Joyce. And you are listening to WHAN 1430 AM and 102.9 FM.